The Bible is the inspired, inerrant Word of God. Every story in the Bible is given to teach us the gospel. In Galatians chapter 4, Paul tells the story of what took place in Genesis chapter 16, where Abraham and Sarah did not wait on the Lord, and Sarah comes up with a brilliant idea for Abraham to go into her servant, Hagar, and have a child, and God's will would be done through that, through them helping out. And I would have never have guessed that that's supposed to teach us the gospel. But if you go into Galatians chapter 4, you find out that that teaches us of law and grace. And that rule of interpretation is upon every story, without exception, in the Old Testament. Now, the story we have before us is a story of deceit, fraud, and manipulation. There are no heroes in this story, humanly speaking. Isaac goes against what God had already said, that Jacob would have the blessing, and he tried to make sure Esau had the blessing. Rebekah had already been given the promise that her favorite Jacob would have the blessing. Yet, she still tried to manipulate this situation. And she used deceit and fraud in order to make sure she got what she wanted, even though God had already said that Jacob was going to have the blessing. Esau is the one who was robbed of the blessing, but we know from chapter 25 is that he thought so little of God that he sold his birthright for a bowl of soup. Now, the birthright meant that the Christ would come through him if he had the right of the firstborn. The birthright meant that he would get everything. It represents Christ being all, and that was so without value to him that he was going to sell all that for a bowl of soup. So here we have the story of him being cheated out of his blessing through his brother Jacob. Jacob is a deceitful man. Nobody else like that? Jacob's a deceitful man. Jacob is a fraud in many ways. And he seeks to swindle his brother out of the blessing. Those are the four characters. Now let's look in verse 1 of chapter 27. I repeat, in this story of deceit and fraud and manipulation, we learn how a sinner can approach God. You can learn from this how you, I can learn from this how I can approach the living God. Verse 1, Genesis 27, and it came to pass, there's our phrase that comes across the Scripture so many times. God purposed it, it came to pass. This was all according to God's purpose. Every event, every detail was all according to God's purpose. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old, and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see. Isaac was blind. He called Esau, his eldest son, and we know from Genesis 25, his favored son, and said unto him, my son. And he said unto him, behold, here I am. And he said, behold, now I'm old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison, and make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau, his son. Now remember, Isaac favored Esau. Rebekah favored Jacob. And she heard where her husband said, I'm going to give the blessing to my son Esau. And she, in spite of the fact that God had already told her that Jacob is the one who will receive the blessing, and that Esau would be servant to Jacob. God told her that. But she couldn't wait. She wanted to make sure she manipulated this situation to get what she wanted. And she was going to use deceit and fraud. I tell you, this is one dysfunctional family. And you see that so clearly in this passage of Scripture. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speaking to Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison and make me savory meat that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord, bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. She knew how to make this meat. And thou shalt bring it to thy father that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I'm a smooth man. My father, peradventure, will feel me, and I shall seem to him a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. Now you put yourself in his place. You would be afraid to do this as well. And his mother said unto him, verse 13, Upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice. Do exactly what I say to do. And go fetch them. And he went and fetched them and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. You know, before the father would give the blessing, he had to have what he loved. He had to have what he loved before any blessing would be dispensed. Verse 15, And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, I guess his best clothing, garment, and she put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. Now, can you imagine how nervous Jacob must have been as he approached his father? He knows he has Esau's, his brother's, garment on. Made him smell like Esau. His neck and hands were covered with goat skins to make him feel hairy, like his brother Esau. But he can't change his voice. He can't imitate Esau's voice. And so you can imagine how nervous he was, thinking, what if this brings a curse upon me rather than a blessing? Verse 18, And he came into his father and said, My father. He said, Here am I. Who art thou, my son? You know, Isaac smelled a rat. He knew something was going on. He couldn't see. He wasn't sure. Something's not right. And Jacob said unto his father, when he said, "Who art thou, my son?" "I am Esau, thy firstborn." Now, how do you reckon he felt when he said that? He knew it wasn't so. But he still comes into his father's presence as Esau. "I am Esau, thy firstborn." And look what he says next. "I have done according as thou hast bade me." I've done everything you told me to do, just like you told me to do it. "Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me." He had to have the blessing. And Isaac said unto his son, "How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord thy God brought it to me." Now, you want to talk about brazen lying. He even implicated the Lord in this. "The Lord brought this to me." Is there any doubt that Jacob was a sinner? That is established. And I hope you see that he is no different than you or me. And Isaac said unto Jacob, "Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not." And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him. He felt hairy just like Esau. And he said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau," and he discerned him not. He could not tell the difference. Because his hands were hairy, as his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. Why did he bless him? Because he could discern no difference between Esau and Jacob. Verse 24, "And he said, Art thou my very son Esau?" He said, "I am." He lied again. You have to think he was very nervous while this was going on. And he said, "Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee." And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, "Come near now, and kiss me, my son." And he came near, and he kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment. Remember that raiment that Rebecca got him? What she's doing is working. It's working. "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of the field which the Lord hath blessed." Now, Rebecca's scheme worked perfectly. Now, the blessing is announced. "Therefore, God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren. And let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee. And blessed be he that blesseth thee." What a blessing. Verse 30. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob had scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, I'd say something like 5 minutes later, he's gone out, then Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. And he also had made savory meat and brought it into his father and said unto his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac, his father, said unto him, who art thou? And he said, I'm thy son, thy firstborn, Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it to me? And I've eaten of all before thou camest, and thou blessed him. Yea, he shall be blessed. This blessing is irreversible. It's irreversible. I can't change my mind. It's irreversible. It's immutable. He's been blessed. He's blessed. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, bless me, oh, even me also, oh, my father. And he said, thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing. And he said, is not he rightly named Jacob, heel catcher? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. He didn't take away your birthright. You sold it to him. You sold it to him. We always make things better than they really are. He took away my birthright. Behold, now he hath taken away my blessing. And he said, has thou not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I've made him thy Lord. And all his brethren have I given to him for servants. And with corn and wine have I sustained him. What shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. You remember how that's quoted in Hebrews 11? Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. And afterwards, when he would have got it and repented, it was too late, even though he sought it with tears. He sought a change in his father's mind. And his father's mind could not do it. The blessing could not be reversed. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, behold, thy dwelling shall be in the fatness of the earth and the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword shalt thou live and shalt serve thy brethren. And it shall come to pass when thou shalt have the dominion that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand, then will I slay my brother Jacob. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. And she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and saith unto him, behold, thy brother Esau is touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill you. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, and arise, flee thou to Laban, my brother to Haran, and tarry with him a few days, until thy brother's fury turn away, until thy brother's anger turn away from me, and he forget that which he had said he was going to do to you, and I'll send and fetch thee from thence. Why should I be deprived also of both of you in one day? And so, Rebekah, in her deceitful, fraudulent, manipulating ways, says to Isaac, I'm weary because of my life, because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take of a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these, which are the daughters of the land, what good shall my life be to me? See what she's doing? She wants her son in this land, but she's not going to tell Isaac why. So she makes up and concocts this thing about how she'll probably kill herself if this happens. That's basically what she's saying. And Isaac was manipulated once again by his wife. Now, there are four characters in this story, this highly dysfunctional family. Isaac, Rebekah, Jacob, and Esau. And God does what only God can do. He brings good out of evil. Do you know He always does? He always brings good out of evil. God is good. Whatever He does is good. And He always brings good out of evil. And you see how unclean. You think, why is this story in the Bible? I mean, it's, what, are there any heroes in it? Humanly speaking, they're not. But we're not speaking humanly, are we? This story is given to teach us how a sinner approaches God. Isaac is a type of God the Father. Esau is a type of Christ. Rebekah is a type of the Holy Spirit. And Jacob is a type of the believer. And when someone says, how can you say that God always brings good out of evil? All the horrible things that take place. What's the most evil thing to ever take place? The murder of His Son. The malicious, hateful murder of the Son of God. That is the most evil thing to ever take place. What is the most glorious thing to ever take place? The death and the accomplishments of the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the first thing, I want to be brief. I'm not going to go over every verse of this, but the first thing that I want us to notice is that it had already been determined before these boys were born that Jacob would obtain the blessing according to the purpose of God. Let me quote this scripture to you for the children. Talking about Jacob and Esau. For the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. Not of works, but of Him that calleth. As it is written, this is God's word, Jacob have I loved. Jacob? This deceitful, conniving, manipulating, dishonest man? Jacob have I loved. And Esau have I hated. Now, I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. I can see why God would hate Esau, because I can see why He'd hate me. I really can't. I can see why God would despise me. What I'm amazed by is His love for this man, Jacob. This deceitful, sinful man, Jacob. Jacob is going to obtain the blessing according to God's sovereign purpose, and I make no apology for that. This is God being God. It's pointed out that Isaac had become blind. Now, Abraham died at a good old age. He was real healthy. You know, when Moses died, it said his eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. But here old Isaac is blind. And you know why? Because this could never take place without him being blind. The Lord, in His good providence, makes this man blind for glorious purposes, to teach us something of His gospel. Now, old Isaac, it seems like he was controlled by what tasted good to him. Why did he love Esau in the first place? Genesis 25 says because he loved the venison he brought him. That's why I loved him. This guy gives me good stuff to eat. I like him better. And he is getting ready to die, and he thinks about what he likes to eat. I've got to have what I love to eat. And so he tells his boy, go out, hunt, bring me what I love to eat. You see, God's going to be satisfied. He's going to have what he loves. And remember, Isaac is a type of God here. He can only be satisfied with what he loves. You go out and go hunting, bring me back in what I love to eat. Well, Rebekah hears, and she goes to her son, Jacob, and says, your father's going to bless Esau. Now, God had already promised, but she didn't believe. She wasn't any different than Sarah was, really, in Genesis chapter 16, when Sarah tried to get things going. Well, Rebekah does too, and she tells him what he needs to do. Look in verse 5. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Isaac, to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for the venison and bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son. She wasn't going to simply trust God. She was going to take care of the situation. Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau, thy brother, saying, bring me venison and make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Do exactly what I say to do. Notice she tells him to get two kids. Why not one? Why do you have to have two kids to provide that which the father loves? How many goats were used on the Day of Atonement? Two. One for the sacrifice by death. The other to teach us how that happened, because sin was transferred to the scapegoat. And only that will give what the Father loves. Perfect atonement, perfect justice, absolute grace. You know, that's the amazing thing about the cross of Christ. There, two things that couldn't happen at the same time in our human experience, justice and grace, take place. Absolute justice and absolute grace. That's what the Father must have. He's a just God and a Savior. He must have absolute justice and absolute grace. Now, we read in verse 10, and thou shalt bring it to thy father that he may eat and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I'm a smooth man. My father provincial will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver. And I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. Can't you imagine why I felt that way? I'd be there, right there with him. I'd be scared to death of what's going to take place. And his mother said unto him, remember, this is the Holy Spirit. This typifies the Holy Spirit. And she gives the gospel. Upon me be thy curse. And that's what the Lord said. Remember when he said with regard to being a surety to Judah, you put what he owes you upon my hand, of my hand I shall require it. Now that's what she's saying, trust what I'm saying. Even if it scares you to death, trust what I'm saying and do exactly as I say. The curse is not going to come upon you. Do what I say. I think it's interesting. All he did was what she said. He didn't come up with any of the idea. He didn't even come up with the idea to come back to the father. He sure didn't think of the meat that the father would love and the two goats. He didn't think of being covered with goat skins and having on a raiment that smelled. He just did what his mother told him to do. Now, very wise. Very wise. Trust Christ only, period. What if? Trust Christ only. You don't have anything else. Trust Christ only. And he went and fetched and brought it to his mother, and his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment and her eldest son Esau, which was with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. Now you know that that is being clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's how she approached being, he approached with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And she put the skins of the kids of the coats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared in the hand of her son Jacob. Now Jacob's given everything. He didn't come up with the idea. He didn't come up with the things. It's all given to him. And his mother says, go to your father like this. And he came unto his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am. Who are you, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau. Now, what would have happened if he would have came in his own name? He would have been rejected right now. And when a sinner comes into God's presence, he comes only in the name of Christ. No other way. And somebody says, well, isn't he lying? Listen, if I'm in Christ, I answer to his name only. I'm Esau. Look what else he said next. I've done according as thou badest me. Verse 19. Do you know that the Lord Jesus Christ did exactly what the Father bade him? And I come in his obedience. I come in his name. I come in his obedience. Now, if you would come to God, you're going to come only in the name of Jesus Christ, wearing his righteousness, bringing that which the Father loves, the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing else. Nothing of your own. If you even are hinted to be who you are, Jacob, you'll be rejected. You must come only in the name of the Son. Only in his obedience. I pray thee, verse 19, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, how is it that you found it so quickly? And he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. Now that's, the Lord did it. How are you coming into my presence? The Lord did it. I come no other way. I come in his name. I come in his obedience. I come in what he did. I come no other way. And Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him. And he said, the voice is Jacob's, but the hands are the hands of Esau. For me or you to come into God's presence, I'm going to have to feel just like Jesus Christ. When God touches me, he's going to have to touch the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way I can come. And Jacob, verse 22, went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him. He said, the voice of Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother's Esau's hands, so he blessed him. Now, for me to come into God's presence, there can be no discernible difference between me and his son. If God can discern any difference, I'll be cast off. The only way I can come is if all God sees, feels, smells is his son. That's the only way a sinner like Jacob can approach the Father and be accepted. And that's the only way me and you can approach God and be accepted. Just the way Jacob did. With Christ's righteousness, with Christ making me smell like Him, feel like Him. And he asks him again, verse 24, "Art thou my very son Esau?" And he said, "I am. I won't answer to any other name. Are you Todd?" No. Only one way I come, pleading the name, the merits, and the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Verse 25, he said, "Bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee." And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, "Come near now, and kiss me, my son." And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him. You see, he smelled just like Jesus Christ. So that the Father could kiss him. And this is my son. Now that's the only way I'm going to come into God's presence, by His grace. I will not come any other way. I must come to this sense that the Father can discern no difference between me and Jesus Christ. Somebody says, "But how could that be? You're not Jesus Christ." I'm in Him. And I'm one with Him if I'm a believer. Both He that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. One with Christ. Not two real close together. United to Christ. "Therefore God give thee the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren. Let thy mother's son bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee." Now, why is it that the blessing could not be reversed? You'll notice after Esau comes in 5 minutes later, verse 33, "And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, Who are you? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it to me, and I've eaten all before him? Camest thou and blessed him? Yea, and he shall be blessed." This blessing cannot be reversed. He's blessed. It cannot be reversed. Why? With regard to God's blessing, here's why it can't be reversed. Number one, it's eternal. And that which is eternal necessarily is. Number two, this blessing, you know, every type falls to the ground. Every type falls to the ground. We have here this deceiver, this deceitful man, getting the blessing. But in the gospel, God's righteousness is seen in the blessing. I'm given the blessing because I am righteous. And I'm getting the blessing because in Christ, I am perfectly righteous. I have no sin. And the righteousness of God demands that the blessing come to everybody that Jesus Christ died for. Remember that publican. I don't remember if I said this in here or Sunday school. I said this already once this morning. Christ said with regard to that man who was beaten on his breast, crying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Remember what the Lord said with regard to that man? I tell you, there's the authority, I tell you. It's not Todd telling you, this is me saying it. I tell you, that man went down to his house justified. Without guilt, not guilty, having never sinned. And that is what the gospel does. It makes people like Jacob to where God says, turn with me to Numbers 22. Actually, it's somewhere in Numbers. Where does it say God hath not beheld Jacob, iniquity in Jacob? Numbers, I'll find it. It'll take me just a second. Somebody find that for me. It's in Numbers somewhere in that. 23:21. See, I told you. Verse 20 of chapter 23. Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed. I cannot reverse it. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob. Do you see that? He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. And I know exactly what that shout was and is. It is finished. And that's why folks like Jacob and me and you can approach the living God through Christ and be accepted. Let's pray. Lord, we ask in Christ's name that you would enable us to approach you the way Jacob did, in the name, in the righteousness, and in the merit of thy dear Son. Lord, do for us what we cannot do for ourselves, for Christ's sake. Bless this message according to your will. In Christ's name we pray.